Hello, everybody. This is Marshall Poe. I'm the founder and editor of the New Books Network. I've published several academic books, and one of the things I found frustrating is my inability to get them picked up in the press. There really is no PR service specifically oriented toward academic books. Recently, however, I had the opportunity to work with a PR firm in New York, RLM, on a book that I recently published. And I have to say, they did a remarkable job at a very low price. And this got me thinking. I wonder if the New Books Network and RLM could provide a service that would promote academic books. So the folks at RLM and I put our heads together and we came up with a package. It is specifically targeted toward people like you, people who write academic books. So if you're interested, you should go to the NBN website and click publish. Publicize your book, and there you'll find some information about the services that the NBN and RLM are offering. What we really want to do is provide you with value for money. As far as we know, no such service exists. This is the first of its kind, and we really hope it is successful, and we hope that it helps you get the word out about your academic book.
Welcome to the New Books Network.
Fling the body into an expanse of blue wasn't about dispelling grief, but about preserving joy. Eve needed to jump before the upcoming minutes, days, months began their demolishing of an entire life that had been so carefully built, every decision made to prioritize love, her family, her husband, her son. And it had yielded unspeakable rewards. This is G.P. Gottlieb, host for New Books in Literature, a podcast channel on the New Books Network. And today I'm talking to Abigail Nguyen Rosewood, author of Constellations of Eve. In this winsome tale of three adults and a child who are bound together over the course of a variety of lifetimes, everyone gets a chance to succeed and everyone gets to fail. Sometimes Eve is the beautiful one married to Liam, the man of her dreams. Sometimes it's Perry who is with Liam, or she's the beautiful model upon whom Eve's career is built. And Blue is either a beloved son, a sweet memory, or a grown-up who never understood his parents' relationship. In all versions, all constellations of Eve, love, art, obsession, and death play a role. Hi, Abigail. Thanks for joining me today.
Hi, Gillette. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
So what triggered the idea for writing this novel?
So Constellations of Eve, I started writing it in 2018, and it was sort of around the time where my relationship with my husband was kind of at a crossroad. There was a lot of things that we were going through, and I had, you know, I was going through some doubts, and we have a lot of love for each other, but I think those questions are natural when your relationship is, you know, when you're suffering in your relationship. And so that's when I started writing the book and try to give myself some answers through fiction.
Wow, that's so interesting. How would you, as opposed to your PR team, describe this novel, and what would you hope that a reader takes away from it?
Oh, wow, that's a really good question. I think for me, this novel is about my belief in love transcending time and space, in the idea that people will meet again and again. If they are meant to be together, and that you can love each other and you can have love, and sometimes that's actually not enough to keep two people together. That's how I would describe it myself. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that. The characters undergo transformation, sometimes appearing as strong and decisive and other times as anguished or nearly unable to function. What are you describing here?
I think it was my own emotions that I felt in my relationship. And so I think I really tried to convey that through the different characters. And what you picked up on The anguish was really personal to me, but I also think you're really insightful in picking up on the transformation, because I do think that through pain, we do grow. And so I think that's what I was trying to convey.
Yeah, I could see that. What is the significance of the child's name?
So the child's name is Blue. And I think the color blue is really an emotional color, but it's also a very melancholy color. I think that's why it's one of Van Gogh's, you know, main colors, like phase that he went through. He went through a yellow phase and he also went through a blue phase. And I was really inspired by many of Van Gogh's paintings. As for myself, I also felt like it's a beautiful color that I felt like, you know, the child is a gift. But when, you know, in the circumstance that he came into being also had a lot of sadness. So I think that was kind of my signal to that.
Why is Perry so important in all versions of Eve's lives? Who is she?
So Perry is both a friend to Eve and the muse. And I also see Perry as kind of the embodiment of the artist, kind of the artist, you know, subject or topic that he or she or they wrestle with, the obsession that they keep returning to. And so I think Perry for me is kind of the personification of the things that I keep returning to in writing, and my way of wrestling with those topics over and over. And so Perry is both an embodiment of beauty and seduction and charm, but also a lot of darkness and failure and envy, all of those things that you experience when in the art, I think.
Eve's mother doesn't show up in every story, but she has. She does show up. Why does she warn Eve about recognizing beauty?
That's a good question. I think beauty is there are many definitions to it, and I wanted to kind of introduce that tension between the way that her mother sees what beauty means to her mother, and how that has influenced Eve's choices in life.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know if I actually answered that question. Sorry.
Well, I see where you're going with that. On a follow-up question, so where's the rest of the family for anybody?
You know, I don't, in my mind, this is more of the way I wrote the story felt more like a fable to me, and the isolation is very important to these characters. So I didn't feel, even though Liam's father is briefly featured and Eve's mother, I didn't feel like it was, it serves a story to include them.
Okay. Why is the trio of Eve, Liam, and Perry constantly shape-shifting then?
I think that actually goes back to my upbringing, you know, in Buddhism. And there is some parts of Buddhism, there's a belief that that if people will meet again in different lifetime, and that meeting somebody again could actually mean that you owe them a debt from a previous life. And so so being bound together, the soul, like, you know, the soul's migration across these lifetimes, and their meeting again and again could be due to love, could be due to debt, could be due to something that they haven't worked out yet. And I think these three souls and these three people are bound together in this way. And so that's why the different version, some of it is about love and some of it is, you know, actually hate, and some of it is other things.
Wow. So you also wrote in your acknowledgments that you've been looking for signs of your own father's reincarnation. Can you say more about that?
Yes. I think I'm always looking for him. Every morning, like, part of my morning routine is, you know, I light an incense and I pray to him, and I kind of talk to him and tell him what I hope for my day. And I think because I've actually never met him, maybe that makes it in some strange ways, that makes my connection to him even stronger, because I can manifest him anywhere. And I see him in nature. I can see him, you know, in myself. And especially when I'm writing, I feel his presence. He was not a writer, but I read his letters to my mom when they first fell in love, and he was when they first got married, and he was on a boat for many months and didn't see her. And so I read many of his letters, and I really felt myself through his words as well. So I don't know if he's, you know, like literally reincarnated, but I hope so.
What a beautiful thought. That's lovely that you're able to have that gift of the letters and to see him in that way. Can you say more about the repeating tropes that you include, like, for example, the two cubes of sugar with a tablespoon of honey, which, doesn't sound good to me.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good to me either. I love that you noticed that detail. I think there are, those are the kind of details that are, you know, maybe insignificant to one person, but it's the things that, the quirks that we notice about the people that we love, that they do something really strange. And I think the recurring detail makes me kind of ground a character and, like, shape who they are. And also that detail is the reason why, a strange reason why, like, Eve really latches on to that, and things that maybe Perry and Liam belong together because they both do this. And it's just so strange that she can know two people that would add both tea and both honey and sugar to their tea at the same time.
It's still gross, but okay. So what about Liam makes him revolve around the sun that is Eve?
What makes Liam revolve around Eve?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's how I really saw it, actually. I feel like when I was writing it, I guess I was focusing more on her revolving around him, but maybe that's interesting to hear your reaction, or that your how you see it. I think part of it may be that, you know, he never really fully understands her, but and that she's still a mystery to him, and in some ways that keeps him revolving around her, perhaps.
You know, it seems to me like another character in the book is honesty. It's not a character, but honesty and the lack thereof. Can you address that?
Yes. Yeah, I think I if I remember correctly, in the early pages of the chapter, I talked about how in every relationship or perhaps every marriage, like, rested on one necessary lie. And so you're right that honesty and betrayal and you know, white lies or whatever it is a big part of the book, or the undercurrent that carries the story. I think that all three characters don't quite manage to tell each other the truth. And deceit is a really big part of their relationships. And perhaps that's why it becomes so entangled later on. You know, if they could have, you know, if they were perfect people who could have clearly communicated with each other, it wouldn't be so difficult, but they just couldn't. And they had so much to hide, and they fear so much, and they had so much shame, perhaps, about themselves to really show, you know. Eve, especially as a character, had a lot of envy. And so I think she was maybe ashamed to reveal that.
Mm-hmm. Do all of these interactions, all these lives, take place in a specific geographical setting? And if the three lives keep intersecting, what's happening to all the lives of the people around them?
In my mind, you know, I think perhaps because of my background as a Vietnamese American immigrant and my very lack of connectedness to geography and to rootedness, my writing, it's always shown through in my writing that I don't ever really focus on place. And so there's this kind of floaty kind of feeling and fable atmosphere in my writing. And that's actually, you know, maybe I at this point I've kind of embraced it. So there's no exact geographical location. And in terms of the people around these three characters, you know, it goes back to earlier about where, you know, what happens to their family and friends. And it just wasn't the story that I was interested in. I was only invested in these three people.
I get it. In one of their lives, Liam tells Eve that the only thing he wants on his obituary is that he loved her well. Why doesn't he want something about himself?
Perhaps he saw her as kind of his great love, and that, you know, when maybe it's a romantic view, but perhaps going through life of having truly loved is an accomplishment and is part of an identity that you can be proud of. This is just my guess. It's a line that, you know, my husband said to me actually during a difficult time in our relationship. And, you know, so I think it was to show me that even though we were struggling, that there was love there, and he really wanted me to understand that. So that was actually his word by word line. So I'm just speculating on, it fits well with that character. So
I could see you hearing that line and just tucking it away, because it's really quite remarkable. I could see that.
Yeah, it shocked me. Yeah. It shocked me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's shocking to read too. And you think, what? But now it makes even more sense. Wow. So interesting. So, Abigail, what are you working on next?
So right now I'm really interested in the idea of gossip and kind of gossip as family mythology. I was just in Vietnam recently to visit my grandmother who's sick. Just talking to her and listening to some of the tales that didn't match up with what my mother told me about her childhood. And so I'm really interested right now in exploring like family legacy, especially as they pass down by women, and family mythology.
So interesting. But I'm just, as a mother, I would definitely want my kids, if they were writers, to write what I told them and not what my elderly mother told them.
I love that.
Okay, just keep that in mind. Anyway, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a pleasure.
It's been such a pleasure to talk with you and just to hear like how it's an honor that you read the book so closely, and you have such a lovely voice. I've never met you, but you have such a lovely voice, and actually I feel like I'm in a little bit of a trance like listening to you.
I do that to people.
Yeah, it's quite remarkable. So thank you.
And thank you for joining me today. Again, this is G.P. Gottlieb, author of the Whipped and Sipped Mystery Series and host for New Books in Literature, a podcast channel on the New Books Network. Today, I've been talking to author Abigail Nguyen Rosewood about her poetic novel, Constellations of Eve. Hope you're all able to lose yourself in a good book today and tomorrow, too. Happy reading.